You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Alongside the King, Scott Angle, and Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Gentlemen, how's it hanging?
It's hanging pretty good. Good morning, and interesting football game last night. We'll talk about Mitch Trubisky a lot, I'm sure. A lot about Jerick McKinnon as we ended the week, and we look ahead already to who we're going to pick up on Tuesday, and an interesting Star Wars trailer has been kind of geared up for December now.
Can't say I saw it. You're going to talk for the first 2 minutes and I even mentioned the Yankees going to game five? Come on!
I'll leave that for you.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah. Big win last night, Matt Modica.
It was a big win for the Yankees. I will say that. I was happy to see the Red Sox get eliminated.
Same.
Hoping for the Yankees to get eliminated.
Not same.
I just want to see Houston versus Cleveland. I'm just being honest with you. I think that's might be better than the World Series, or it's definitely the series I want to see in the American League. As far as football goes, besides Hall of Famer Mitchell Trubisky, we talk about player safety, and the fact that they left Sam Bradford out there pretty much for the whole first half was ludicrous. The man shouldn't have been on that field, and that's one of the takeaways I have.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Sam Bradford in a moment and his decision to push to play. We'll talk about that all in a few. So we have a lot of waivers to get to today. We're trying to make our waiver claims. A lot of headlines, of course, from yesterday. A Thursday night game just 2 days away. We have a lot of Monday Night Football to go over, including the Hall of Famer's debut and what Sam Bradford looked like. And then Stephon Diggs getting nicked up. And the last time he gets nicked up, those nicked up just last and last and last. So I'll get your guys' opinion on that. How are you doing, Scotty?
I'm doing good. Doing good. You know, had a fun day yesterday. Got a lot of work done. Check out my new article on sportsgrid.com where I predict what the Giants will do the rest of the way. When will they win? And what will their final record be? I go game by game. Watch a little Curb Your Enthusiasm. Got a lot of work done.
Scott, you are the pickle jaw hero.
Yes. 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 I don't even know who you are anymore. But
you guys are making references to an episode I haven't seen.
Played some Madden, and you know how realistic Madden is?
No.
Sammy Watkins had one catch.
It's because you didn't throw him the damn ball.
Were you the quarterback?
What's that?
Were you the Rams?
No, I was the Seahawks.
Are you only the Seahawks when you play?
No, what I like to do is they have this new live mode where you can play other games. Like, the Seahawks are my preferred team, obviously, but I like to play some of the other top games of the week.
Very cool. All right, we take a break. We'll come back. Monday Night Football's on deck. It's the Rodeo Experts in the Morning. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Back here with you on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Greg Sussman, Scott the King Angle, Matt Modica here with you on this fine morning in which the Hall of Famer lost his first career game by the score of 20-17. Trubisky last night, 12-25, 128 yards, threw a touchdown, threw an interception, and I would love to hear your first impressions, guys. I have mine from what I saw of the game. Admittedly, I watched mostly the Yankees and then, you know, watched the fourth quarter after the Yankee game was over. But I have some impressions. So, Scott, what did you see from Mitch last night?
Also lost a fumble and could add a second interception to turn into a tip pass and a touchdown. Look, the talent is definitely there. He's mobile. He's aggressive, maybe to a fault. You know, the game certainly isn't too fast for him. But he's got to work on his decision-making and his accuracy. You know, some drops certainly didn't hurt him, but he definitely, there's a different vibe to the offense with him in there over Glennon. You feel like they always have a chance, but you never know what can go. Every time the ball leaves his hands, you're 50-50. You feel like it could be a completion or it could be a pickoff. He's not afraid to throw into a tight window, but I think he's aggressive to a fault. He's got to rein it in a little bit. His decision-making's got to improve. The accuracy isn't always there. The talent definitely is still there, but you can see he's kind of raw. But look, we said the same thing about Deshaun Watson when he got his first extensive playing time. So things could slow down for him in a hurry. The talent is definitely there, and there's nowhere to go but up. You know, as far as fantasy goes, I would roster him as a backup. The talent is definitely there, but he was very, very erratic. He gave Bears fans a lot of hope, but also a lot of frustration. Fantasy-wise, maybe he's worth a bench spot.
Look, for his first game, I looked at the throws that he was able to make that you can't teach. You know, it was up and down. It's a very good defense, the Minnesota Vikings. He was smart enough not to throw to Xavier Rhodes' side. So, you know, he learned that early on in his NFL career. And it's a move they had to make. This is look, the Bears play pretty tough at home. You have to admit. I mean, every game they've had at home has been really good. So, you know, it's the step to the future. I did like on Twitter when I saw Bears fans like Ricky Sanders tweeting out, "Trubisky is the truth." I had fun with that.
You know, from what I saw, I thought that Mitchell Trubisky pretty perfectly defined, like, the quarterbacks. This is so dramatic, but the quarterbacks of this generation. Like, that's honestly what I saw from Mitchell Trubisky last night. He was constantly on the move, right? Like, he constantly had the ability, I felt, to improvise. Roll right, roll left, mainly right because he's staying away from Xavier Rhodes side on the left. But he was constantly moving, and he had the ability to throw on the run, much like we saw in the preseason. And, Scotty, you're right. Like, he threw a lot of just 50-50 balls and, you know, Godspeed when he threw the ball. But he was able to create with his legs, and he ran for a couple of first downs last night, and he had the just ability to make something happen. Mike Glennon didn't. Mike Glennon was your traditional pocket passer that would stay in the pocket and get sacked. That didn't happen all that much to Mitchell Trubisky last night. Like, yes, he did get sacked one time, but ultimately, I like that he was on the move. I like the Bears kept him active, and I think going forward, I mean, they did lose, you know, Kyle Long last night, but you looked at Trubisky, and he was making moves, and you felt good about it, I thought. Did he lose the game on an interception? Yes. He's been intercepted before and fumbled? Yes. Yes, of course. But I thought Trubisky on the move gave you some hope as a Bears fan.
They're different dynamics when the two quarterbacks are in the game. Look, Glennon can still be a decent NFL quarterback if you surround him with some receiving talent, but there's not much there. When you surround him with the kind of receivers the Bears have, he doesn't have a chance. You know, Trubisky is more creative. He's more dynamic, sometimes to a fault, as we saw last night. But, you know, he definitely makes that offense, I think, more difficult to defend with the personnel that they have.
Mike Glennon's a poor man's Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's a backup quarterback that you want to have on your team that can step in. You know, the thing I took away was, and I think we spoke about it last week, I know Corey mentioned it, the guy that I bid on, you know, I wasn't going after Latavius Murray. I knew first one he'd go for too much money. I'm just not a Latavius Murray guy. But Jerick McKinnon was the pretty much highlight of the game offensively.
You know, it's interesting. You look at Minnesota and you spend billions of dollars on your family for Latavius Murray. And I sat here with you last Wednesday, Scotty, and I said I cannot justify spending, you know, 75%, 90% of my budget on Latavius Murray. And the reason why is because Latavius Murray sucks. And last night you kind of saw that. 12 carries, 31 yards. It was the Jerick McKinnon show. You know, that 16 carries, 95 yards, a 58-yard touchdown. He looked spry. He looked athletic. The problem, though, I have something to do with last night. Jerick McKinnon, who also led Minnesota in receiving with 51 receiving yards, is that I feel like next game he could just not show up, right? I feel like next week there's maybe nothing. And maybe that's because of last year where I know, you know, he caught a bunch of passes down the stretch, but as someone that owned McKinnon last year, there was no room to run for him at all. And the offensive line is much better this year, but I'm nervous about the inconsistency with Jerick McKinnon, but I think it's clear at this point he's the guy to own in Minnesota.
Well, I can see you feeling that way because I think there's been more than one instance in the past where he was supposed to step up for Adrian Peterson and didn't deliver. Now, we were both concerned about ankle injuries with both of them when we talked to Dr. A, but the ankle didn't appear to be a concern for McKinnon. And if they're not going to be able to run with the ball, I think when Dalvin Cook was in there, they got very comfortable throwing the ball to the running back, and McKinnon can do that. So, you know, will the rushing yards be there? They'll be inconsistent, but there's definitely some PPR promise, at least as a flex player, I think. He looked healthy. He looked dynamic last night. He certainly challenged the defense. Wide open 58-yard touchdown run with Latavius Murray. You know, talking to Dr. A during the preseason and hearing all the stuff about Murray, I think Latavius Murray and Eddie Lacy are in the same boat where I feel like neither one has a chance to succeed because I don't think either one of them are fully healthy.
Well, I mean, here's the deal with McKinnon. I don't think he's a bell cow. I don't think he should be used in that bell cow role. As I stated last week, second half of the season, I believe he was third in receptions for running back. He has a role, and when used in that role, used properly, I think you could have some good things. The Bears are also decimated at linebacker. I mean, pretty much everybody was down and out for that team. But look, he had a great game. He got rocked on one play. I mean, it was a legal hit and stuff. But I mean, he got leveled. He had a great game. He did what he needed to do. You're happy to have him, especially in the PPR format. He's the back you want. Latavius Murray, as long as he stays healthy, he is going to have a role as well. If he can be the guy, you know, at the goal line and stuff, as a bye week replacement, sometimes he'd probably get you maybe double digit points.
I don't think Latavius Murray is healthy. He talked about how he's not. You watch him. You watch Eddie Lacy. Both of them run with no burst, and I think that's because I don't think either one of them. I think the ankle's probably still a concern, and it's good that you lay out your caution about McKinnon, Greg, because then he could easily go in the tank next week because everybody's always going to chase last week or who's starting, and I think you got to rein it in a little bit when you look at McKinnon's history.
One note I'll take from last night is Tariq Cohen needs to be used more in this passing game. Chicago lacks upside and excitement in the passing game. This is a guy they have to get more involved. You know, I'd rather see him get more targets than rushing attempts, to be honest with you.
You know, I'm not going to jump around too much. I want to take our time here as we go through the games. Let me stick with Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon for a second. I think you guys kind of hit the nail on the head with McKinnon, right? Like, you don't want him if you're a Vikings fan, you don't want him as a bell cow back. If you're a fantasy player with Jerick McKinnon on your team, you like having him. You like being able to deploy him at certain moments. You don't want to rely on him on a week-to-week basis. As the comparison of Latavius Murray and Eddie Lacy, I don't think so much about Lacy's health anymore in that I think he's just bad. Like, he's been healthy. He's played every game. I think he's just bad, Scott. It's over.
Eddie Lacy going back to college, I think it's just more of the thing to wait because he's always been heavy. Going back to college, he's had injuries. I don't think when I watch him play, there's absolutely no burst.
Sure.
He doesn't run with any authority, and I think that's a health thing.
I'd rather have Latavius Murray than Eddie Lacy.
I agree with that.
I mean, I think that's...
I don't know if I want either one of them.
Well, sure.
I mean, there's people I had to start this week I didn't want to start. I mean,
absolutely.
Some cases it paid off. Mike Wallace got me 16 points.
Right. You know, I lost to Jermaine Curse, Marlon Mack, and Torrey Smith.
Yeah, Marlon Mack's a guy that definitely needs to be rostered.
Yeah, we'll talk about Marlon Mack coming up a little bit later on in the show. So that's the running game when it comes
Well, before you move on, though, it's just like, just with Jerick McKinnon, to your point, he started seven games last year, and six in 2014. He never had more than 85 rushing yards Well, he had 89 rushing yards in one game. And you just look at the game logs. They're not that impressive.
We'll be back. More from the Minnesota Vikings when we come back. It's the Red Experts in the Morning. Hey, this is Greg Sussman from the Roto Experts in the Morning. And listen, we can all use a little help sometimes. That's why I talk to three guys every single day that help me with my fantasy teams. But if you need help with your fantasy teams, and you probably do, you should purchase the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football In-Season Package, featuring weekly lineup ranks, chats with our experts every single day, and player cards for every player in the NFL, including reports from InsideInjuries.com. You cannot beat it. Don't set your lineups without checking the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge In-Season Package. Gave you some stats from from Jared McKinnon through the years as a starter. Scott, why don't you read them again because we were rushing it out.
I have to cue them up again.
Okay. Well, basically, the point was that as a starter, Jared McKinnon had never been all that impressive. Going back to his rookie year when Adrian Peterson was suspended, and then going back to last year when Adrian Peterson was injured. So, with all that being said, there's a lot to dislike about Jared McKinnon, and I owned him last year. I get it. But I will say, I think it's a little bit different now. When AP was suspended, it was Jared McKinnon's rookie year. Guys get better. Last year, this offensive line was an absolute, utter, effing disaster with Minnesota. It was improved. Everyone talked it up. I am not Mr. Jared McKinnon. I don't want to be Mr. Jared McKinnon. I never want to go on record and be that guy. But I'll say this. Jared McKinnon could be better than what we saw last year, better than what we saw his rookie year. There is something to like about McKinnon.
I think there is some hope, but I think there is some hope. Like you say, I'm not writing it off, but opportunity in the past hasn't led to production for him. No matter what the circumstances, I don't buy that it was just his rookie year, because we've seen a lot of guys look good in their rookie year. I mean, look at Aaron Jones coming in the other day, and just like a lot of people didn't even know who he was mainstream, and, you know, had a terrific game. So that I don't buy.
You don't buy someone can get better from their rookie year to
what
their
I'm saying
year.
Is, though, I can't make an excuse and say it was his rookie year, so he wasn't good, because we saw last year, too, you know, that he didn't run with it. Okay. But I'm not saying that the guy can't succeed. I'm with you on that, though. Maybe the circumstances are indeed different.
Let's break down his last eight games from last season.
Yeah.
So the second game. He had 540 total yards.
Okay.
He caught 35 passes, three touchdowns. And, you know, that was he wasn't the bell cow back by
sure.
any means. So there is a role for him. If you got him in Fab, Aaron Jones was the guy to get last week. McKinnon might be the second running back, or like Wayne Goldman. Those were like probably the top three running backs to have acquired last week. And everybody paid big money for Murray.
Yeah.
Some people went out there on a limb on Eddie Lacy, too. But if you play in PPR, Jarek McKinnon's a guy that you want to own. Look, there's a lot. Just look at the running back situation right now. So, you know, in PPR formats, Andre Ellington wasn't a thing a couple of weeks back.
Sure.
So, and now Andre Ellington's getting like 14 targets a game.
Yeah, you look at his rookie year in week 7 against Buffalo, 19 carries, 103 yards, then 16 carries for 83 yards the following week. Then he was down to 54, 38, and 54 the next three games. He really wasn't a factor in the passing game in his rookie year, but you look at that 103-yard game against Buffalo on October 19th, 2014, that's the potential that I think we saw last night. I think what we have to answer, and I'm not saying it can't happen for McKinnon, but what I'm saying is what we have to answer is, can he build on what we saw last night? Especially when defense is now going to be watch the film and say, you know, this is a guy that we got to stop. Look what he did to Chicago.
Well, as long as this offensive line, which has been good, it's not a great line, but it's a cohesive line. They've started all five games. So it's improving. And like I said, they have weapons. I mean, Diggs needs to be healthy. I seen him playing duck, duck, goose, and then he was off the field, so I wasn't too happy about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got Thielen, Diggs. Kyle Rudolph reemerged last night. So this team has offensive weapons, so you can't just key on the running game. Because you do that, you're going to get beat in the passing game. And Case Keenum is a suitable backup. He's not ideal. I mean, Bradford probably done for the season. I have to be honest with you. And maybe even it could possibly be career-ending because his knee is so ravaged.
So let's talk a bit here now about Sam Bradford, and then I want to get into the wide receivers in Minnesota after that. So Sam Bradford starts his game. He practices all 3 days leading up. And you really can tell from the get-go, he's just not himself. He has no mobility. As Matt kind of said it to me when I walked in here this morning, it was he snapped the ball, and you could just tell he wanted to go down. It was really that simple when it came to Bradford. And at no point in his quarter and a half of playing did it seem like he was comfortable or he could move the
he
offense.
He was like a wounded animal.
He was a wounded animal. That knee, there was just no strength there. They bring in Case Keenum on the last drive of the first half. Keenum comes out and starts the second half. Bradford has his helmet on the entire time. And Matt, this offense just, it was alive again with Case Keenum out there. Not that Case Keenum is, the best quarterback in the history of the world, but he was healthy, and you could see it, and it was a major, major difference for the Minnesota Vikings.
It definitely was. The offense, as you said, like instantly there was a difference. I don't know why it took so long. I mean, RG3 had a tweet out last night. Somebody get him off the field. I know this. I've been in that situation. And look, the guy doesn't want to let his teammates down. I understand that. Looking forward to getting him back. But it just how it took so long and nobody stepped in and said, you know what, we got to remove this guy, one, for his own safety, and two, to make this team. If they would have lost that game, it would have been on the coaching staff.
And by the way, you made a good point about, the receivers and the offense they have there. Back to the McKinnon point for a second, though. This is the best receiving pairing that they've had in a long time. They now have Michael Floyd maybe emerging over Treadwell as a number three receiver. As far as the Vikings and the quarterback situation go, this is a team that, had some really bad luck injury-wise last year. And again, they're having it this year. Two straight seasons, which maybe this team could have been a strong contender to go deep in the playoffs. And, injuries are just, undermining, what their potential is. It's really good defense, a lot of potential, a lot of offense. But, this team is going to have to start now looking towards the future. But, look, Teddy Bridgewater may be back at some point. So let's see what happens when that occurs, if it does.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know there's all this hope for Teddy Bridgewater.
He wasn't saying, all that before he got hurt,
though. I'm not saying he doesn't have potential, but I don't think Teddy Bridgewater. I know a lot of people believed in him, but he really didn't.
He was building towards something before he got hurt, and he wasn't quite there yet, but you could see the potential and the growth. And when you have a major injury like that, now you have to climb back up on that hill. And, you're doing it with a crutch.
Yeah, when he comes back, he's going to be a year and a half removed from playing in a game.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot to overcome.
I'll say this. I feel like there's a good chance that if Bridgewater comes back, it's with Bradford going on the IR and Bridgewater taking over as the backup quarterback at this point to Case Keenum, who, again, gets the offense moving. But in order, as you mentioned, Scott, that this offense has the best wide receivers it's had in years. And the offensive line has improved. But those two best wide receivers, much like any player in the NFL, are best when they're healthy. And last night, Stephon Diggs, who has shown a penchant for getting nicked up, we hate to say it, as good as he is, he has shown the ability to get nicked up year after year here. And last night was no different. He hurt his groin. It was in and out throughout the second half, and he just didn't look like himself to me. I love him. Matt loves him. We all know that. But I readily admit he didn't look like himself. And what scares me about this is that groin injuries don't, go away. They just are there. And with Stephon Diggs, who is so explosive, having a groin injury linger, it's going to be very frustrating.
I think it depends on who it is and how they heal.
Are you Matty?
What?
Are you Matty?
I didn't see you point to him. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The word Matty.
Yeah.
Here's the thing with Diggs. The major red flag is health. That's the one thing, even I, who's drafted him all, I'm concerned about that. But look, it's the NFL. I don't care who you are. One play, your season's over. So you got to hope that, it's nothing serious. you know, maybe give him, you know, limited practices, let him rest this week, whatever. But, you know, hopefully he's on the field. And you could just see, like, in that first half, they were throwing the ball to him. But, I mean, Bradford was throwing in triple coverage. He didn't know what the hell he was doing. It was just like, I don't know. So, yes, the major red flag is health for him. But, you know, in the NFL, I'm, you know, it's just that kind of a thing.
Look, anybody can go out on any play because of the violence of the game. But some guys are definitely more injury prone than others. And,
yeah.
And, you know, to the point about Diggs, you know, that's just where it is with him. The point about the groin, though, you just never know. And, you know, what level, what grade is it? And everybody heals differently. Doug Baldwin didn't miss a game, you know, when he had the groin injury. So we just don't know.
Yeah, you know, and that's kind of almost the problem, though, Scott, in that I don't think Stephon Diggs is going to miss a game, right? Like, I don't think this is going to keep him out. But I think we're going to see him severely limited, because this is a player that when he gets nicked up, he's just not nearly as good.
Right.
And that's even... I'd rather him miss the game, get healthy, and get better than play through it in a way. On the other side of Stephon Diggs, you have Adam Thielen. Thielen last night, 5 for 34. But the true story was Kyle Rudolph kind of getting back in the mix of things. As you predicted, Matt, when Dalvin Cook got hurt, Kyle Rudolph's going to have to step up here. 6 receptions, 45 yards, and a touchdown for Kyle Rudolph, who, with Diggs banged up, along with McKinnon, seemingly was the first read for Case Keenum constantly.
I think it was more of a thing of Diggs being out than Cook being out.
Okay.
And because we didn't see anything from Rudolph last week, but, you know, it was good.
It wasn't in the game planning.
Well, no, Rudolph this year has been, he stayed in to block a lot more, like twice as much as he did last season.
They needed him last night.
Yes.
You know, with Diggs going out. So that, I think that's more of why he got into the mix there.
I mean, here's the thing with the Vikings. They need, you know, they got, everybody has Tuesdays off. This is a huge game coming up. This is a huge game versus the Green Bay Packers this weekend. And just get Case Keenum ready. Try and get everybody healthy, you know, and go from there. This is a good matchup. There was a good matchup last night. It's a good matchup this week. So hopefully.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, I want to look at the other side of things. I want to look at Chicago outside of the Hall of Famer. I take a look at the usage here with Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. Take a break. It's Roto Experts in the Morning. Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
So, on the Bears side of things, on Monday night, Jordan Howard, 19 carries for 76 yards. He had a 42-yard touchdown called back by a BS holding call. Jordan Howard's an RB2. I say that pretty confidently and comfortably, that Howard's an RB2. Anyone have any disputes with that?
No, I don't, because you know, that was a very good defense last night and put up pretty good numbers. And, you know, this guy, you know, they tie the wagon to him on offense.
Okay, so feeling good. RB2, fine. Let's get to Tariq Cohen. Cohen had 6 carries for 13 yards. He caught one reception, one pass, and lost 6 yards on said pass.
Worse than that, he was only targeted once.
He was, exactly where I was going. He was targeted one time. His snap percentage went down from, I believe, like 63% in week one, or give or take, or maybe that was week two. Then 28% here in week five.
Yeah.
It was 29% just a week ago. His usage has declined steadily in this Bears offense. Could you make the case that John Fox and Duell Loggins is an idiot? Yeah, I think you can make that case. We've seen that before. But this is a case to me of the Bears just not using their playmakers to the best of their ability, and it's frustrating. And our concern, and we said this last week, that we have no idea the offense that Mitchell Trubisky will run. We have no idea if he has an affinity for Tariq Cohen. And some sat here and said, listen, they may be able to, as a rookie quarterback, he may dump it off to his running back for the safety throws. Judging by what we saw last night from Trubisky, he has no interest in safety anything. He's going to just kind of
He's
going to
be aggressive.
He's going to be aggressive, exactly. So is Tariq Cohen, who, admittedly, in week two, I offered you an hour for Tariq Cohen to an owner of my league, and he declined. If you were a Tariq Cohen owner, this roller coaster is headed in the wrong direction for you.
Yeah, I mean, the snaps, as you stated correctly, have gone down. Here's week one, 12 targets. Week two, 9 targets. Last 3 weeks, a total of 9 targets. That's not using this guy correctly. No. I mean, it's just when you have no wide receivers or anybody that has upside, and you're not using a player that can really help this offense. You have Jordan Howard pounding away, using this guy, short passing, doing some draws with him maybe, going shotgun. I mean, I don't know. There's so many ways for this team to get creative with this player. And, you know, when Benny Cunningham gets more targets than him, something's wrong.
Look, it's up to Dole Loggins, the offensive coordinator, and Dave Ragone, the quarterback's coach, to sit with this kid and say, look, you have a weapon here, and you have to use him. You know, we're going to draw up some plays for you to use him because he gives them a unique sort of chess piece that that other teams may not have, that challenges defenses in a Darren Sproles-ish kind of way. And you can't ignore that when you're throwing it to Kendall Wright and Marcus Wheaton. And Marcus Wheaton had his best game of the year. He had one catch for 0 yards instead of zero for zero. You know, you can't be throwing to these guys when you have a weapon like Cohen. You could even split Cohen out, you know, he's obviously not looking for him. He's got to get the ball to his playmaker. You know, maybe it's in his mind that he's, and I'm only speculating here, that he's so aggressive, he wants to get the ball downfield. Maybe he doesn't have the patience for swinging out of the backfield and letting the running back do the work. But that's going to challenge the defense more. I got to say, you know, if the Bears have any sort of half a brain in their coaching heads, they're going to get Cohen back involved, so don't cut him yet.
Oh, I'm not saying I agree. I think it's a good point, Scott, right? You don't cut him yet. He's a talented kid. He's a running back. We're all desperate for running backs, so you don't want to cut Tariq Cohen. Well, but the Bears are not using him nearly as much as they should have. From what I saw last night, they did bring in Tariq Cohen and put him wide a bunch, so I thought that Benny Cunningham next to Trubisky spread out Cohen, but you're right, Trubisky never looked to Cohen at all. It was a lot of Zach Miller, it was a bunch of Deion Sims, it was a lot of my man Trey McBride, friend of the BFFs. It was not Tariq Cohen.
Yeah, it's interesting because he did get like a guy like Sims more involved last night, and you know, that's a guy that Corey thought that, you know, maybe was going to be a deep sleeper, etc. He's trying to get the ball to his pass catchers, but his best playmaker is Cohen. He came out, I think, his first two or three passes with a Kendall Wright, and then ignored him the rest of the way. Their best pass catcher on that team is Tariq Cohen.
Jordan Howard has 5 more rushing yards than LeGarrette Blount this season. That's pretty crazy, though.
It is crazy because Howard runs a lot more often than LeGarrette Blount does. So we'll say that. Passing-wise, last night for Chicago, Kendall Wright led this team in receiving. He had 4 receptions for 46 yards. Benny Cunningham, 2 for 43, 38 yards of that were fluky on the fake punt. Zach Miller, 3 for 39. Trey McBride only caught one pass, only targeted once, but I believe he was on the field for 40% of this game.
Yeah, and Miller had the touchdown on the tip pass.
Yep.
That could have been an interception. Good heady play by him. And, you know, as far as Kendall Wright goes, I think he got caught like 2-3 passes early, and it's Trubisky just started going away from him.
I mean, Kendall Wright really has zero upside. I mean, look, I understand he's going to catch the ball, but it's tough. He's not a guy that I'm hoping I have better options than him. And look, I get it. You want to look and see who's getting the snaps, who's out there. I can go to Indianapolis, and like Kamar Aiken's been a guy that's out snapping Dante Moncrief. Kamar Aiken's not good.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter if you're getting the snaps. You're not getting targeted, or if you're getting targeted, you're not making catches.
Opportunity doesn't always lead to production. I've said it forever, and you know Kendall Wright is like a 4-for-40 guy every week.
You know Kendall Wright. I tried it. Listen, I drafted Kendall Wright in a lot of places. I like Kendall Wright. I just thought that the opportunity in this case will lead to production. But you're right, Scott. Like, it doesn't obviously always lead there. And this is one of those times where it simply did not. This is one of those times where ultimately he's not good enough, I guess, for it to lead to. He's miscast in his role in this offense. He should not be a number one wide receiver, obviously. The Bears need help, and that help should come from Tariq Cohen. It just hasn't.
I looked at this receiving core, and before the preseason, I said, I don't want a part of anybody.
Yeah.
Of anyone. And you look at the Giants, how depleted they are. I'd rather have Roger Lewis than any wide receiver on the Bears right now.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears, they did get some injuries. You know, losing Meredith, who played well last season. And Kevin White was supposed to be a thing. He never was a thing. Probably never will be a thing. But, you know, those were two guys they were relying heavily on that, you know, aren't there.
Yeah, and that's an issue here for the Bears. All right, let's kind of go back to Sunday here. Anyone have any final thoughts on Monday Night Football before we move on? Just want to make sure.
I really don't think there's anybody that we missed. You know, Zach Miller's a tight end too. He was looking for him. You never know with tight ends. You know, you got to keep Deion Sims on your radar now because he was getting targeted. And Latavius Murray, it's just like sometimes you can't always go for the top thing that's out there because you just had a bad feeling about it. You did. And I don't think the guy's healthy.
I think you should be encouraged by Jerick McKinnon. If he's used properly and what he did the second half of last season, if you play in a PPR league and he's on your team, good for you.
And as good as Adam Thielen has been, he still hasn't scored a touchdown.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
By the way, you know the other interesting thing I wanted to bring up, though?
Sure.
The whole Brandon Marshall out for the season.
So there's nothing to do with Monday Night Football.
No, but okay. Just like you said, it's interesting, something interesting. Brandon Marshall's never played in a playoff game, and he could retire without ever played in the playoff game.
Okay. Well, we're going to get to Brandon Marshall.
It's amazing.
We're going to get to Brandon Marshall here in a bit when we talk about the Giants, no doubt. But I wanted to, before we do that, Scotty and Maddie, I did want to get into figuring out your final thoughts, of course, from week number 5 around the NFL. We're all done. Monday Night Football is in the books. After this, after the next 2 minutes, we turn the page and we head to week 6. Matt, your final thoughts here.
Carnage. Carnage would be the word for me. The injuries, that's why it's the not-for-long league. Hey, look, these guys get a raw deal, in my opinion, of the 4 sports and their contracts. Look, at any point, just the violence that goes on here, that's why we love it, let's be honest. It's a violent sport, we love it, and, you know, you got to, you know, roster construction and having that depth is crucial. Now that the bye weeks are here, that separates a lot of people.
There's some good stories there. Deshaun Watson, I think, is top 6, top 7 fantasy quarterback right now. And if you're Deshaun Watson owner, you may have surplus. If you added him a few weeks ago, maybe your starting quarterback is Drew Brees or someone like that, or Russell Wilson. Today's a trading day. You know, before you go out and you do those waivers, start swinging some deals if you're a Deshaun Watson owner. If you got two guys, because I have Brees and Watson in one league. As good as Watson has been, I'm sticking with the proven guy, and I'm going to float Watson out there to a lot of people.
Speaking of trades, Scott's talking about, and look, that's fine. If you can fill the hole and stuff like that, that's great. But don't be afraid to buy high on players you believe in. Everybody always talks about buying low and getting value. If you believe in a guy and you want to buy high, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I have no problem buying high also. Scott, you mentioned you should go out there and trade today. Do you find Tuesday to be like the best day to make a trade? Is that a thing that we should think about or know about? Like going out and trying to make a trade on Tuesday, is that a thing?
You can make a trade any time, of course, but I think on Tuesday when a lot of people are very much the previous week is hot in their minds and fresh in their minds, that's a good time to strike. Before people always looking to improve their team on waivers. If you hit them up before waivers run, they're improving their team even before waivers run. They're looking at it. as a possible trade partner.
The book is closed on week 5. We open the week 6 manual coming up next.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Back here, it's the Road Experts in the Morning, it's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. As we said, book close, week 5, we are looking to week number 6, guys. So, where do we start? Well, we start naturally with the teams that aren't playing. The Buffalo Bills, they have their bye here in week number 6. And Matt, you had said that when it came to like the Falcons, the Redskins, like the bye came at a nice time. Do you feel like it's the right time for the Bills?
Oh, it's definitely the right time for Bills. I mean, their only receiving option got his knee scoped the other day. He's out for multiple weeks in Charles Clay. Look, this team has overachieved. They played very well. The defense has been surprisingly good. The only years the defense has been bad is with Rex Ryan. And, you know, this team is, in my opinion, overachieved. And I kind of wish, you know, we get a top... I'm a franchise quarterback. I don't see it ending well in the long run. But it's perfect timing for them.
He's going to keep continuing to talk like this, and they're going to continue to win. You know, that's what's going to happen. The Bills are going to win the AFCs because every week Matt Modica is going to be like, oh, it's not good, it's not good. And they're going to continue to win ball games.
After 17 years of 7-9, 8-8, and 9-7, it does you no favors in the draft.
Well, I did watch a lot of this game yesterday, and the defense played good in the first half again. It's just like, you know, they gave up some big plays, but overall they were good. But offensively, there's nothing going on there. It's just like they have no playmakers. It's like, if nothing better comes out of the break, I would not be surprised to see Brandon Tate step up as a pass catcher for them, because Zay Jones is just lost.
It's interesting. That wasn't the name I have. The name that I believe, I can see what you're saying, Scotty. The name that I have that I think could step up, Nick O'Leary. I think Nick O'Leary.
Florida State days.
It could be both of them. It could be both of them because here's the thing. Look at Jermaine Kearse. Jermaine Kearse was regarded as like the fifth receiver on the Seahawks. He comes over to the Jets. He's a veteran. He's won. You know, he becomes the number one guy. Brandon Tate has experience as an NFL receiver, and I saw Tyrod Taylor looked at him in some key situations. They are desperate for playmakers. It's really all about McCoy and what is going to be complimentary. Somebody's got to step up.
He's the only guy I want to own on that team is LeSean McCoy.
Agreed. Cincinnati Bengals also on a bye, maybe to get Tyler Eifert healthy there. And then the Cowboys and the Seahawks.
Good luck with that.
The Cowboys and the Seahawks, they both hit their bye. You hope to get some Zeke news over this bye week. I think the Cowboys, I don't think they really needed the bye. I think they were doing okay. But when it comes to Seattle, that's crazy. The three of your teams are on bye this week. The Seahawks, do you feel like the bye is coming at the right time for them, or would you prefer a little bit later on, Scott?
I'd probably prefer a little bit later on. But, you know, there's some injuries like Cliff Averill and Luke Jokel and stuff like that. And, you know, of course, Procise, but, you know, maybe he won't return after the bye. But they get a week off, and then they come to New Jersey to play the Giants.
I mean, the Cowboys are 2-3 at the bye. I don't think they can be happy with that.
Sure. You know, so I think he's missing more, but... Nah, you've been the one you say every day.
Everybody else expected, you know. Yeah. I think last year was everything broke right. It was a perfect season. Schedule helped them out. But, I mean, they got the Giants week one without Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
That was a major thing. They beat Arizona in Arizona. Okay, it was a road win. That's good.
Every road win counts.
Yeah.
The Cowboys, you saw it last year, and the defense is not as good as it was last year because they lost some pieces, and Sean Lee is hurt again, although DeMarcus Lawrence has played really well. The Cowboys are designed to beat those lesser teams, but when they play teams that have a really good defense or that have more of a balance, or because the Cowboys are designed to eat up clock on offense and protect their defense, you can't do that against an Aaron Rodgers. You can't do that against a Denver defense. And, you know, the better teams in the league are going to take them down. The schedule is not as easy.
Yeah, but even if the Cowboys made the playoffs with that defense, where are they going?
Yeah, it's interesting because I got home watching First Take and Max Kellerman saying, you know, that it's because of the offensive line. No way. It's, you know, that defense and that schedule is different.
Take a break. We come back. Week 6. Headlines from this week. Stick around. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning. We go YouTube Live coming up in just about 10 minutes from now. Stick around. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.